Let's read from Revelation 19. We're going to start in verse number 6. This is John, John having part of his revelation that God gave him. And it says this, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. We, the church, are the bride." Number 8, verse 8. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And we'll stop there. This actually is... In a sense, it is a story of history. It is not just history, but it's also a story of the future. The Bible says in this part that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we have that testimony of Jesus. So what's a testimony? A testimony is a public declaration of something that has happened. Some experience that has happened. We have testimony time of the service. Think about it. That's what we do. We give public record. We announce to the public. We tell the public something that God has done in our lives. That's a testimony. The testimony of Jesus is what we are supposed to have. We are supposed to be carriers of that testimony of Jesus. And that testimony of Jesus is part of what we'll be talking about today. Because the testimony of Jesus is given, the end result of his testimony is given here. The end result of God, of the testimony of Jesus, is that there is a marriage at the end of the line. If you go and you read, many people used to do that when they're kids or whatever, or if you like reading books, many people actually go into the end of the book and they read the end of the book because they want to know what's going to happen. They can't stand waiting till the end. They want to know what's going to happen at the end. Well, we're reading the end. The end, Revelation 19. There's a couple more chapters, but this is the end. This is the end of history. As we will know it, and then eternity will begin. But the end of history marches towards a marriage. The end of history marches towards a wedding between Jesus and his church, which is us. We are that church. We are the bride. We are the one that will be part of this marriage supper. That is the end goal. And if you think about the history of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the what he has done and what he has done throughout all of history, you will see that everything that was done is marching towards that event. How so? If you go all the way back to the beginning, you see God created man. And God created man to be in the garden. And in that time, before there was sin, there was unbroken fellowship. People, Adam and Eve, they would commune with God. And the Bible says they would commune with God in the cool of the day. And it gives this impression and tells us that God would walk with them and they would talk with him. And it was this unbroken fellowship. And then because of man's sin, it was broken. And now the communication and the intimacy is gone. And even from that very time, the Bible tells us that God had a plan. God had a plan to restore that fellowship and that intimacy that was lost in the garden, that once was in the garden and was lost in the garden. And God had a plan to restore that all along. And He worked in phases. And many times we see that in our lives. God does things gradually. Sometimes He does things all at once, and sometimes He does things in stages. A little bit here, a little bit there. And we see part of the first phase was that God had what we called a tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, God's presence dwelled there in the most holy place. But it was very restricted, and not everybody could go in, and not everybody could access that most holy place. In fact, it was so restricted that only one man, the high priest, was only allowed in that most holy place to commune with God one time per year. One man, one time per year. That was the tabernacle. But that wasn't good enough for God, because then He sent Jesus. And instead of one man, one time a year, now it was God with us. Remember, that's part of Christ's name. Emmanuel, God with us. And so now there's more access, because that was God's plan. And even that verse that Ted read today, there's such power in that verse, because it says, God, I desire, this is Jesus talking, God, I desire that those who You gave Me would be with Me where I am. It's a desire. Could you imagine God having a desire? He can have everything He wants, but yet He desires something, and He desires us. That's an amazing thing. You could chew on that for a long time. God desires us. And so the tabernacle, one man, once a year, that's not good enough. So Jesus comes, and now whoever's around Him could be with Him. Everyone who's around Him could hear Him. There are people that could walk with Him and talk with Him and go to Him and hear Him speak. And so we move from the tabernacle to God with us. And then when Jesus is crucified, He takes away the veil that was in that tabernacle. So now it's no longer one man, one time a year. Now it's no longer just God with us. But now He brings us salvation. And instead of God with us, it's God in us. It's God in us, because now the Holy Spirit comes inside of us upon salvation. He changes us from the inside out, and it's God in us. And we see the progression. It's a tabernacle, and then it's God with us, and then it's God in us. And then we go all the way to Revelation. Because even God in us, it's not good enough. Because He wants all of us. And He says, I'm going to be one with you. I'm going to be one with you. I'm going to be one with you. There's going to be a marriage. We are going to be one. We know that the Bible tells us from early on in Genesis that marriage is a union. And it says that the two shall become one. And so now, the end result of all of history, of all of mankind, is that we are marching towards a marriage. And that is the future of where we're going. That is the future of mankind, according to the Bible, which we believe. We're all marching towards a wedding. And why is this? Why is it important? Why do we care? Why does it matter today? What's the relevance to today? So that's somewhere in the future. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's 20 years. Maybe, I don't know when. Bible says we don't know. We know the signs of the times, but we don't know the exact time. Why is it important today? Because if you know what the future is, you should align yourself with the future today. If you know where the future is heading, it's best to align yourself with the future today, to do whatever you can to prepare yourself. And the Bible even says that the bride has made herself ready. So the Bible says, get ready. There's another parable that Jesus talks about where He talks about that very thing, that the bride made herself ready and was ready when the groom came calling. So the Bible says, make yourself ready And that's something that's done beforehand. That's something that's done now. That's something that we can work on today. It's relevant to our lives today. The bride should be making herself ready. It's like this. If you knew what was going to happen 5 years from now, you would make plans accordingly. There are probably many people who didn't see the housing crash coming in 2007 or 2008, whatever the year was. And they bought houses, they bought property, they bought all these things. But if they would have known in 2006 what was going to happen in 2007, they probably wouldn't have bought it. Why? Because they seen where things were going, they knew what was going to happen, and this is not a good idea to do this at this time. And so if we would have known the future, we would have behaved differently. We would have made different decisions. We would have done things or waited. And maybe we would have made completely different decisions altogether because we knew what was coming. Well, I'm telling you that the Bible tells us where we're going. The Bible says we're going towards a marriage. We're heading towards a marriage. We're heading towards a union with God. And He desires you, because you are the bride. And don't get all weird about, okay, a man can't be a bride. Well, the Bible doesn't make those distinctions. Women could be the sons of God and men could be the bride of Christ. That's okay. That's just the way it is. So what is it that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to get to know our groom. We're supposed to get to know Christ here on this side of the age. We're supposed to do what we can to get to know Him. He's going to be our groom for eternity. I know people have, the media and maybe culture has given us this strange picture of what heaven's going to be like, little babies, angels with wings that are floating around with harps. There's nothing that the Bible says is like that. Sure, there's some harps in heaven, but whenever you see the little cherubs, that is absolutely not how the Bible describes angels. Absolutely not. It seems like every time an angel comes around, people fall on their faces. And they fall on their faces with fear because there's such awe. When I see a little baby, there's nothing, no awe in me when I see that. That is not the description. And we're even given descriptions of angels in the Bible. And it looks nothing like the art that is drawn here on earth. We're headed towards a marriage, and it's time to make yourself ready to know who God is. Get to know Him. He is going to be your groom. Some of you might have had husbands that went off to war in some of the wars in the past. Often it was my mom's story. I remember her saying that she would write back and forth to my dad all the time. They weren't married yet, but they were going to be married. They knew they were going to be married. So even though they didn't see each other every day, even though they couldn't talk to each other every day, even though they had no contact for probably long stretches of times, they were writing to each other. They were making the effort. They were making that effort. Why? Because they loved each other. And they were making the effort to get to know each other. In essence, they were doing what the Bible says, preparing themselves, making yourself ready for the upcoming marriage that they knew was imminent. They were taking the steps to get to know each other. This marriage that's coming, this is not going to be like a mail order bride. This is not going to be one of those things that you hear, they're sent away and a wife or is coming from another land. It's not going to be like that. This is not going to be one of those prearranged marriages. You've all probably heard about those things where the bride and the groom, they don't even meet each other until the wedding day. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting to know God now, getting to know Jesus now, because we're going to be married to Him. He wants to know who you are. He wants to have a closeness with you now. And He tells you, make yourself ready. Make yourself ready, because this is where history is going. This is where the future is going. History has been marching this way for all, ever since man was, and history is going to continue to move that way until this day occurs. And when you think about a bride making herself ready, if you've ever, you've probably been around a bride who is preparing for a wedding, and it seems like no detail is too small. It seems like there is nothing that should be overlooked. We make sure the hair is good. We even practice a little. Let's go to that person that's going to make up my hair. Let me see what it's going to look like. And then we pick out the perfect dress. And then we get the place where we're going to get married. And every detail has to be good. It has to be decorated a certain way. It has to be this. The colors have to all match. There has to be a theme. The napkins have to match. The bunting has to match. Everything has to match. There is no detail. Oh, the invitations. My goodness, how can we forget? We have to do every single detail. And every single detail is in order. And the bride usually is one who takes care of all these things, is thinking about all these things, is planning for these things. It's one day. It's one day. And sometimes it takes a year or more than a year to plan the one day. The seating chart, who's going to go with who, where does it mix, where is it good? We want everybody to have a good time. We want everybody to be happy. Oh, the meal, oh my goodness. We got to have a meal. We got to have a bunch of dessert. We got to have every detail. All for one day. And this is an example of the bride making herself ready. Every detail. There's no detail that hasn't been thought of. And sometimes we can't think of them all and we hire a wedding planner. Because surely they'll know even more details than we know. And they'll take care of, they'll help in all the things that we want made so perfect. And this is the example that we're given in the Bible about how we should be in this life. The bride should be making herself ready. The bride should be purifying and getting herself in a position for that day. And it even tells us, it says that God helps us to do that. It says that God helps us to do that because it says it has been given to us that we will be clothed. We will be clothed in white linens. And those white linens are the righteous acts of the saints. And you might think, well, the righteous acts, what does that mean? Does it mean I gotta help more people and I gotta walk the little lady across the street? Is that what I gotta do to get white linens? Yes, those are good things, and they, you know, acts of kindness are really good things. That's true. It's not the only thing. It's not the only thing that is part of this righteous acts of the saints. It's who you are and the things you become, and as you put on the character of Christ. You put on the character of Christ and you become Christ and you respond to others. These are part of that righteous acts that become the linen that you will be clothed in. Remember, the Bible even tells us, put on the garment of praise. Put on that clothing. Put on the clothes of praise. So you want to fill your garment. You want to create that garment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord throughout your day. Give God, worship God throughout your day. Put on that music. Just worship Him. Spend your time in prayer. Spend your time in the Word. Get to know God. Commune with God. Put on that music and just praise Him. Worship Him. The righteous acts of the saints are part of that linen, that fine linen, clean and bright, which is what we will be wearing on that day. When you think about it, when you think about this whole thing, really, Jesus summed it up when he told us the greatest commandment. He told us that the greatest commandment was love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. And he basically said, you love God because you're going to be loving him forever. You're going to be loving him for eternity. So start doing it now. It's the greatest thing that you could do. Of all your priorities, and I have that project manager type mind in me, I like to know what the priorities are. I know there's like 20 priorities, 50 priorities that could be, but I really only want to be working on one and two. And Jesus seems to know that. And he says, all right, I'm only going to give you two things. I'm only going to give you two things, and yeah, there's a third too. And so he tells us the first and greatest commandment, love God. And then he tells us the second greatest commandment is love people. So he gives us one and two. If you don't know what the priorities are, these are the priorities. Love God. Love people. And then we have this great commission, which he also says as he ascends, and he says, go ahead and make disciples of the nations. You got those three priorities. You put all your time into those things. You put the majority of your time into those things. This is preparation for eternity. This is preparation for eternity. This is going to fulfill those righteous acts of the saints. So we each have to look at ourselves and say, are we the spotless bride? Because remember, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. A spotless bride. He's coming back for a spotless bride. A bride who is ready and waiting for him. A bride, the Bible says, the bride is saying, Maranatha, come quickly. Come quickly. We're waiting for his return. We're anticipating his return. That's what the bride's attitude should be. We should be waiting for him, longing for him. The same desire that he has for us, we should have for him. So he says, make yourself ready. The same care, the same thought, the same attention. And an earthly bride will go to preparing for that day is the same way, the same intensity, the same thought, the same level of attention is how we should be caring for our lives and our souls as it pertains to God. Worship team, if you would come on back up. We are almost done. The wonderful thing is the Bible tells us that if we know what God's will is, that he will help us do it. The Bible tells us that if you ask anything according to the will of God, he not only hears, but he will answer. Well, we know this is the will of God because this is where all of the future is marching. This is where all of mankind is marching. This is where we're going. We're going to America. We're going, and the Bible says, make yourself beautiful. Make yourself prepared for that wedding. So if you're not prepared, if you're not ready, if you know there's some spot here and some spot there and you can't overcome it, you can go to God confidently and say, I know, God, you want me to be spotless. I want to be spotless too. I need your help. I can't do it on myself. I can't do it on my own. It's not going to be my own discipline. It's going to be help from you. Help me, God, to overcome this part of my life. Help me to overcome. And we can go with confidence knowing that he wants us to overcome because he wants us to be a spotless bride. He wants us to be a bride that is made ready for that day. If we align ourselves with the future, it is good to be aligned with the future. The more that we do now, the better it will be. The more that we get ourselves ready now, the better it will be for us on that day. The rewards in heaven will be incomparable to the sacrifices that will be made, that will have to be made here in this life. The rewards in heaven will be incomparable to the sacrifices that might need to be made here on this earth. It is our job. Jesus told us, first commandment, love God. Love God with all your heart. Love God. And this is one of those, this is one of those things where we see we are going to be united with Him. We are going to be one with Him. We're going to be one with God. This is where we're marching. This is where all of the future is going. It is the ultimate fulfillment of Jesus' first commandment that we will be one with God one day. And His call today is make yourself ready. Examine yourself and make yourself ready, because that day is coming, and we don't know when, but all signs say it looks soon. It looks like we are in the season of the last days. Fulfill that first commandment and make yourself ready. His name be praised. Worship team, would you come?